Could Carlos Ghosn's future at Nissan be over? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vivian Nunes, filling in for Anu Anand. Good morning. The board of Japanese car giant Nissan is expected to oust Chairman Carlos Ghosn after he was arrested on Monday over allegations of financial misconduct. The board is meeting in Yokohama, as I heard from the BBC's business correspondent Theo Leggett.
Yes, he and his colleague Greg Kelly, who's kind of the chief operating officer, have both been accused of financial misconduct. So they're currently in custody. And the chief executive of Nissan made it very clear earlier in the week that he thought it was time for Mr. Ghosn to be ousted. And that's what we confidently expect is going to happen. The question is, what happens afterwards?
Yes, because Carlos Ghosn also holds leadership positions at Mitsubishi and Renault. And he's really the one who's managed this Franco-Japanese alliance between car makers. If he's not there, what happens?
The Renault-Nissan-Mitsubishi alliance is collectively one of the world's largest car makers, makes more than 10 million cars a year. It's very much been held together by force of personality by Mr. Ghosn himself, who is still chairman and chief executive of the alliance, even though it looks as though he's going to be forced out at Nissan. People within the alliance itself say that it is beyond falling apart now, that it is a structure that will be resilient. But in what form, we'll have to wait and see.
French and Japanese finance ministers are meeting about this today in Paris. This is obviously something that both countries are taking very seriously.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at who Carlos Ghosn is, in Japan, he's the outsider who came in, stirred up a company that was on the verge of bankruptcy at the time, cut costs ruthlessly, and made it into a global leader. In France, he's also seen as one of the celebrity chief executives. He's very close to members of the French elite. So what we've got here goes far beyond, really, a row within one corporation. There is a whole diplomatic backstory that needs to unfold as well.
Theo Leggett, let's do the numbers. Shares in Nissan closed higher by 0.7% ahead of that board meeting. Analysts are putting that down to expectations that Mr. Ghosn will be forced out. Also in Japan, the Nikkei closed up 0.7%. US markets are closed for Thanksgiving. Facebook has admitted that a top executive hired a PR firm to target the company's critics. The BBC's Faria Massoud reports.
The tech giant's communications boss, Elliot Schrage, announced back in June that he was stepping down. Now, he said, he alone was responsible for hiring a Washington-based communications firm called Definers. The New York Times accuses Facebook of using that agency to spread disparaging information. One of those targeted was the billionaire philanthropist George Soros, after he described the social media network as a menace to society. Mr. Schrage denied he had instructed the agency to spread Facebook propaganda. But Facebook needed a scapegoat for this crisis. They've chosen one who was already on his way out.
Faria Massoud. Historically, Papua New Guinea has sided with Australia when it comes to foreign affairs. Australia is seen as the Pacific region's proxy for the US. But recently, increasing trade and aid ties with China have meant that Papua New Guinea could be turning toward Beijing. Washington is trying to combat China's rising influence in the region, as the BBC's Karishma Vaswani reports.
Come in the middle of the Waigari Boulevard and we will all dance!
A parade, feathered dancers, and thousands of people have turned up to catch a glimpse of the Chinese President Xi Jinping. He's inaugurating a brand new boulevard in the center of Port Moresby, a road the Chinese helped to fund, along with a whole host of other things for the APEC summit. Highways, venues, and even bus stops.
But even though China is pumping hundreds of millions of dollars here, it's not always welcome. The way it does business, with little transparency, is raising anti-Chinese sentiment. But China's trying to change that.
And they have done big projects in the rural communities and, of course, in the city as well.
That's Vani Nades, the ambassador of the China-Papua New Guinea Friendship Association.
People seeing, you know, Chinese people, like they're coming into the country and getting everything that, you know, Papua New Guinea owns. Perception has to change about China. So if they can serve and provide basic services out in the rural community, it's a good thing.
China's also using soft power by sending 50 students from Papua New Guinea on an exchange program every year. With all this assistance from Beijing, fears are growing as to what China really wants from this region.
Why we see so much strategic anxiety, particularly from the West, is that in reality no one really knows. We don't know what the end game here for China is.
Jonathan Pryke is the director of the Pacifics program with the Lowy Institute.
You take a look at what China has done in Djibouti, what China is doing in Sri Lanka by taking ownership of a 99-year lease of a port that they themselves built, and you can draw the thread out to the Pacific. And you see similar sort of traits happening in the Pacific Islands region. The great concern is that they will get a foothold somewhere in the Pacific, and over time they'll slowly slice the salami to a point where in 20, 30 years' time we have a full-fledged military installation somewhere in the Pacific.
Back at the parade, though, no signs of that anxiety just yet. Beijing has made its presence extremely visible in Papua New Guinea, and that's why this country is now so important, not just to China, but to the US and its allies. America is investing in a new naval base, electricity, and internet infrastructure here. The battle for influence between these two superpowers is benefiting Papua New Guinea for now, but it will also determine its direction in the future.
Karishma Vaswani reporting in Papua New Guinea. Revelers will gather on Manhattan's busy sidewalks today or around their television screens to watch the annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. But on the other side of the world, Parisians are already in Christmas mode. Fashion designer Karl Lagerfeld will help switch on Christmas lights on the famed shopping street, the Champs-Élysées, tonight. In London, I'm Vivienne Nunes with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.